father bear, mother bear, and child bear live in a house in the forest. One morning, after mother bear makes porridge, much like our oatmeal, they find it too warm to consider eating. So the family chooses to stroll in the forest while the porridge cools down. Goldilocks happens upon the house while the bears are away. She's very curious and chooses to go in. Well, inside the house, Goldilocks sees the three bowls of porridge. She tastes from every bowl. She finds father bears excessively hot. She finds mother bears excessively cold. But she finds child's bears porridge is just right. Are you with me in the story? Shake your head, all right? Well, then Goldilocks wants to sit down. She finds father bear's chair excessively hard. She finds mother bear's chair excessively soft and delicate. Yet the child bear's chair is just right. But she breaks the seat when she sits in it. Well, at last, Goldilocks finds the bedrooms, and she has to check out the beds. Well, yet again, father bear's bed is excessively hard. Mother bear's bed is excessively delicate. Child's bear bed is just right. So she falls asleep in child bear's bed. Well, the three bears return from their walk, and they promptly notice their house is in disarray. They find the eaten porridge. They find the broken chair. And then they find Goldilocks in child bear's bed. She's snoozing. Well, she's frightened when they walk in. She leaps out of the bed and, boy, she takes off through an open window. The bears are perplexed, yet they return to their normal lives, probably evaluating how to secure their home a little better. While Goldilocks learns a valuable lesson about snooping around in someone else's property. Now, this has been Story Hour, presented to you by Gospel Light Baptist Church. I'm going to use that storybook analogy, just had a little fun, as I preach today. I don't know about you, but my wife loves bears. She thinks they're so cute and cuddly, but she has not been up close and personal with them, I guarantee you. She's always seen them through a glass or through a very secure, enclosed area. And we have seen them from a distance at Cades Cove. Some of y'all have been there in the Smoky Mountains. We've seen them other places, but really not up close and personal. Now, at home, I want to make sure and clarify, we have non-living bears at our home. We have a little bear figurine on the front porch welcoming you into our house. We have a little bear plaque on the door coming in from the garage. And then our hall bathroom is full of bears. Decor, including artwork, some more figurines, a nightlight. It's cute. But there's even an outhouse with a little bear inside. Even the toilet bowl brush is held up by a bear. I'm telling you, she's consumed with it. Well, there are three bears that God uses to help build His church. In order for our church to grow, we must practice the characteristics of all three bears. Let me remind you of a verse. I believe it's on your screen. Matthew 16:18 says, this is Jesus speaking. Say it with me. Ready? I will build my church. And the gates or the powers of hell shall not prevail against it, will not conquer it. How many believe that scripture? How many believe it's Jesus who builds the church? Yep. It's not our job. Jesus is explaining to his disciples that he would build the church. Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, the workers or the work of the builders is wasted unless the Lord is doing the building. Now, if it's that way with our homes, then it's the same way with our church. Let's put it this way. Without Jesus, we cannot build churches. So let's not be guilty of trying to build our church in our own power. It takes the master builder, Jesus. But Jesus has a building crew that he uses. I've used this phrase before, but I love it. God's hand, listen, has human fingers. Jesus left the disciples, but before he left, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." I've got a job for you to do. God is going to use you to get the work done. He uses us. Now, we have to be under the guidance and supervision of him as we're filled with the power of God through the Holy Spirit that lives within. He directs us how to accomplish the work of the ministry as we rely on him to build his church. Let's look at the first bear that's on the building crew of a godly church. Okay, number one, we are to bear fruit. Say that with me. Ready? We are to bear fruit. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth or will produce much fruit. I love this phrase. I say it all the time. For without me or apart from me, ye can do nothing. Again, that reminds us we can't build the church. God builds the church, but he uses us in the process. Now, the mother bear's main responsibility is reproduction. She gives birth to 1 to 4 cubs in each litter, and she has a litter about once every 2 years. Apart from his help, we cannot lead others to Jesus. And he's given us the commission to reach the lost. I'll give you another verse in John 15. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In other words, when we produce much fruit, we are true disciples. It brings great glory to God when we are reproducing ourselves like a mother bear. It makes God look good. That's what glory means. Are you making God look good in your life? How about Proverbs 11:30? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Hey, the fruit here in this verse is another life. Each of us can have a part in seeing spiritual life being imparted to someone else. Are we reproducing ourselves? Are we leading folks to Jesus? Are we helping disciple them after they get saved? We all need to have a part of that. Every one of us need to be a mama bear. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, mama bear, how you doing?" Every one of us, male and female, we need to have this characteristic. We want to bear fruit. Now, the mama bear's job goes a little bit deeper. It goes beyond just reproduction, because the cubs stay with mom for up to about 2 years. She defends them from all intruders, other animals. She protects them from humans. Some of y'all like to shoot bears, all right? And then she also protects them from male bears that like to eat the younger bears. So she's got a job to do. Hey, when we have a new convert coming to our church, like Mama Bear, we ought to defend them. Like Mama Bear, we ought to prepare them for battle. We ought to give them a strategy to overcome Satan when he attacks. Because, by the way, he is going to attack. Can I hear an amen? Hey, the Christian life is not a bed of roses. Have you figured that out yet? The devil's going to attack. We need to protect some of those young converts from other professing Christians who want to eat them up. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" I tell you, Christians can be downright vicious with each other. Can you relate? Turn in your Bibles. This is not on the screen. Look at Galatians chapter 5. God laid this on my heart after I sent the notes to Pastor Colton. I want us all to look at this scripture. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 14, Paul has just finished saying we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. Y'all believe that's pretty good practice? We ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. But then right away, he says in verse 15, are you there? Galatians 5, 15. But if ye bite and devour each other or one another, take heed, watch out, that ye be not consumed one of another. Here's our theme, one another, for this year. In other words, we have a choice. Are we going to love one another, or are we going to bite and devour one another? Wow. Are we going to destroy one another or build each other up? Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or you won't do what your sinful nature craves. Hey, our response to certain situations is not always right. A lot of times we're walking in the flesh. And buddy, before we know it, we've let something spout out, or we've done something because we're not walking in the Spirit. We've got to become like mama bears that are reproducing and then defending the young ones from those who are not walking in the Spirit. I don't think any of you today would go home, grab a hammer in your hand, and smash your foot. I don't recommend that. But let's use that analogy. We're the body of Christ. And say one of you is the hand and another person is the foot. And let's say the hand takes that hammer and goes and smashes the other's foot. That's the way you got to look at it. That's when we bite and devour one another instead of building each other up. We're all a part of the body. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say today? This is preventative medicine. Pastor Earl will send me a note after maybe I've preached on something like this and we're trying to give instruction, and he'll say, that was good preventative medicine. We've got to learn there's no reason to bite and devour one another. Let's build up the body of Christ. Let's do our part, and I'll get even further into this. All right, that's the first bear, mother bear. Mother bear is to bear fruit and also to defend those that are young. Number two, what is the second bear that's on the building crew of a godly church? We are to bear burdens. Can you remember back when you first learned to do something? Maybe it was learning how to ride a bike. How excited you would be going down the hill. And then you'd be crushed with disappointment when you fell down again. And in those instances, my daddy would run over there, help me with my scrapes and bruises, and he helped me pull myself together. And he sent me off in the right direction. He encouraged me when I was down. Now, a father is to bear many burdens for his children. Like papa bears, we're supposed to be strong spiritually. You say, preacher, why? So we can help raise others to maturity. We need some strong Christians, spiritually mature, that are going to help others in the church to grow. Papa bears have superior strength. It's his responsibility to help the other bears become strong, to carry them through terrible times and difficulties. Train them to overcome obstacles. Teach them how to feed themselves. And also raise them to become papa and mama bears themselves. That is the role of a papa bear. He bears many burdens. Now, Jesus is relying on some strong, veteran church members, male and female alike, to help new converts, to help weak believers to mature in the faith. Without papa bears, listen, we would have a bunch of babies rocking around constantly getting into trouble. We need to fulfill the role of a papa bear. Raise them to maturity. You say, how do you do that? Come alongside them. Bear their burdens, especially those that are weaker than us. Look at this scripture, Romans 15, 1. Read it with me. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Hey, we are under obligation to bear, to endure, to share. We all know Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye or share one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In this way, you are fulfilling the law of Christ when you bear or share with someone's burdens. Now, sometimes burden bearing is for new Christians. Other times it's for Christians who have reverted back to acting like babies. Many Christians have a relationship with Jesus that is a mile long and an inch thick. It's all based on what they know about God. To them, that's the most important things. But let me remind you what the Bible says. Knowledge puffs up. It's not about just being religious and having a lot of head knowledge. It's about having a close, personal relationship with Jesus. That's why many are hit and miss with church. That's why many even end up walking away from church. Or if they are here faithfully, they're just going through the motions because they have a shallow relationship with Jesus. We need to lovingly speak truth to them like a papa bear. We need to take them by the wings and help them bear their burdens. Let them see the error of their ways or correct them. Because a lot of times it's just stinking thinking that people have. And we're to be a papa bear and help them. Now, when someone is cutting down someone else in our church and a papa bear hears it, boy, he ought to be alert and he ought to respond by speaking up and doing something about it. Don't tear that person down. They're a part of the body of Christ. Stop that. Are we going to determine to be there for one another this year? That's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. So are you willing to step in, bear other people's burdens? Help raise them up through the trials of life. We got to be strong now in the power of the Spirit. We are to act like mama bears and bear fruit. Bring others into the family of God. Defend them. Then we need to be like papa bears. Be strong spiritually. Help raise others to maturity. Bear the burdens of a weaker brother or sister. But then I got one more. What about the third bear? That's on the building crew of a godly church. Number three, we are to forbear one another. Bear burdens, bear fruit, and we are to forbear one another. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3. With all lowliness, another word for humility, and meekness, another word for gentleness, with long suffering, that's patience with the shortcomings of others. I love that word. Say it with me. Ready? Long suffering. Patience with the shortcomings of others. Forbearing one another. There it is. Put up with. Make allowances for each other's faults. In love. Forbearing one another in love. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring. That means to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now remember, a baby bear can be a new Christian, or a baby bear can be a Christian who has never matured beyond a certain point, or it's a bear that's gone back to his baby bear ways. You say, preacher, how do we handle that? Forbear them. Put up with them. Hey, none of us have arrived. Can you shake your head with me? Hey, at times we can all revert back to childish ways. Amen? We hurt one another. We say things we shouldn't. We do things that we shouldn't to one another. We sin. And childish bears can cause a lot of trouble. How many of you parents can can vouch for that and say, yep, you're right. How many grandparents can say, boy, them grandkids can cause a lot of trouble? Well, just like children, listen, whose parents are separated, either through separation or divorce, baby bears are going to have a hard time growing and maturing if we don't have mama and papa bears fulfilling their roles in the church. If we don't forbear one another, if we don't put up with one another, unity will be destroyed. Look at verse 3 again. Endeavoring, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hey, if we're not doing our job of forbearing, the unity is going to be destroyed. There will be no peace in the Baptist church. Now, verse 3 tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one that produces unity. You cannot have unity apart from the Spirit. But that verse also says we are to maintain it or to keep it. How do we do that? We forbear one another. And if we don't, our baby bears are going to wander off. Why are young people leaving the church in droves after they graduate high school? I believe we have failed to set a godly example for them. We haven't been forbearing toward one another. They hear the griping and complaining at home. They see it at the church and they end up saying, hey, if this is Christianity, I don't want nothing to do with it. Shame on us. Sometimes we're hypocrites just like the old Pharisees. We haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. We're only consumed with our wants, our desires, our way. You say, preacher, what's the remedy? Here it is. Look at this last scripture. You ready? Colossians 3, 12 through 13. How many put on clothes today? Hey, thank God. Thank you very much. Well, here it is. Put on, therefore. In other words, dress yourself. How are you supposed to dress yourself? As the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy, that means tenderhearted. Kindness, humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13. Forbearing one another. There it is again. That means put up with, make allowances for each other's faults and mistakes, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, if someone offends you or you offend them, what are we supposed to do? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In other words, the Lord forgave you. Can I hear an amen? Well, then we are to forgive others. Just based on that fact right there. He forgave us, we forgive others. Now, we got to address ourselves with holy and heartfelt mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbear, put up with, make allowances for each other's faults, then forgive. And the only way you can do that is by yielding to the Spirit. You cannot do it in your own flesh. It takes the power of God. He is the one, just like Michael Kilbride preached last week, that produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Say them with me if you know them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, I wonder in the quietness of this moment, you say, preacher, I have a desire to bear fruit, to impart life to someone else spiritually, lead them to Jesus. Preacher, I have a desire to bear some burdens, and instead of causing trouble, I want to make peace. And I want our church to be unified and grow throughout this year as we consider one another. And then I want to forbear. Boy, let's get things right with each other. Instead of talking about someone, pray for them. Do I need to repeat that one? Stop talking about them, pray for them. If someone starts missing, somebody needs to check up on them. Amen? If someone gets upset, don't join in their criticism. Lead them to the Savior. Direct them to Jesus. And then if a baby bear starts wandering off, be aware and forbear. I tell you what, put on your underwear, be aware and forbear. Just had to get another rhyme in there. But let's think about it. We are going to get disappointed with each other. We're going to let each other down. But we must determine that we are going to forbear. Because that's how baby bears mature. They get help from other bears around them. What can we do, church? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Here's the key. Loving, forgiving, forbearing. Mama bears bear fruit. Papa bears bear burdens. But in order to do these two things, we must forbear one another. Or the rest of our labor is in vain. Listen, we're striving for no reason. We're working and serving and doing all this stuff, but we're shooting ourselves in the foot as we're trying to walk the Christian life. If we want a church that glorifies God, we need to fulfill these roles. Let's bear fruit, bear each other's burdens, forbear one another for the glory of God. Let's make God look good, not ourselves. It's not about us. This is His church. Let's make Him look good.